like a lot of people up here that want.
860-5-1, House Committee on Judiciary, Subcommittee 2, May 7th, 1979, 8:30 a.m. Work session on House Bill 2379,
2772, 2860. Chairman, I was kidnapped by another committee chairman, yeah. Representative Favos.
Yeah, okay.
Drugging, screaming.
House Committee on Judiciary will come to order. The clerk will note those members present to balance or excused. First item on the agenda is House Bill 2379. I'm told by staff that this bill has been incorporated into Senate Bill 580, which is coming from the Senate Judiciary Committee to the floor. Talked with the lobbyists that's concerned with the bill. It would be my intention at this time to table the bill if, in fact, Senate Bill 580 does not reach us or the House, then we would take this bill from the table and deal with it at that time. The chair would move that House Bill 2379 be tabled. The motion is non-debatable. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Cohen?
Aye.
Fugit?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye. Passes. Okay, next bill up is House Bill 2860. Joan?
Grand jury bill. Last time it had a work session, the subcommittee decided to delete lawyers and instead provide for recording of grand jury sessions except for when the grand jury is deliberating or voting. So it's a whole new bill. And also that they wanted witnesses to be given informed of the privilege against self-incrimination.
Okay. What's section 4? How has that changed?
If you look over on the second page of the amendments, it adds the audio record of grand jury proceedings to the discovery section of what the district attorney turns over to the defendant.
Okay.
And then section 5 deletes subsection C, which says that grand jury things are not to be turned over, are not subject to discovery.
Okay, and the audio record is defined as only being basically the evidentiary matter as opposed to the deliberations of the grand jury or the voting.
Right. The audio record reporting device language was taken from the language, the statute that made the district court a court of record. That's how it's defined, if you could call that a definition, in that statute.
Okay, did we adopt these, or are these just presently before us as proposed amendments?
Well, you adopted the concepts.
Okay.
This is the first time I've seen the language.
Okay, the chair would move adoption of proposed amendments to House Bill 2860, entitled Proposed Amendments, House Bill 2860-43079. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, they're adopted. The chair would then move House Bill 2860 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Fugit?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye. Passes. Okay, the next bill on the agenda is House Bill 2772.
.772 is the bill about lesser included offenses, and the major objection from the District Attorney's Association last time was that the District Attorneys should be allowed to have some notice of what lesser included instructions the defendant would ask for. That's what proposed amendments do. Mr. Smith said that that doesn't meet all of their objections. I still object to the bill.
Mr. Smith, you want to come up and make a very short statement, if you would, as to why that does not meet, why the proposed amendments do not meet your objection? We don't want to railroad you here.
Of course, for the record, I'm Allison Smith for the District Attorneys Association. I have not seen these amendments until now, but I've heard generally what it was that you intended, that the committee intended doing. Since this last hearing, the district attorneys had a general membership meeting, and this was discussed along with the grand jury bill. And they're just very much opposed. This was, in other words, we had more people than the legislative committee. We had 16 district attorneys from around the state here. And they're very much objecting to either of these bills and don't feel there's any need for any change in either area at the present time.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Person Vegas.
Allison, I can understand the DA's rationale, I think I can, for the position against the previous bill, but I don't understand it on this one. Would seem to me like it might be advantageous if you're from the viewpoint of neatness and properly handling convictions and facts which sort of speak for themselves with respect to criminal prosecution. I don't understand. Can you spend a minute or two tell me what the rationale is of the objection of the DA's association?
Yes.
You'd like to try more cases?
It has to start with, not with the number of cases that are tried. I don't really know what the effect of that would be. I can't say that it would make a difference one way or another, although it may. It's the state that has the burden of proof in a criminal prosecution. And many, many times there are circumstances that indicate a number of crimes have been committed. And those circumstances will either be known to the prosecutor or in some cases not known. But the district attorney then has to select what his strongest case is, and the one that best fits the facts as he sees it in a particular instance. When he then selects what charge to bring, if it's by an information or which evidence at least will initially be given to a grand jury, and at least insofar as it's possible for him to control
is
what
the grand
jury will
do. Is it correct to say that you view this as a probable substitution of the judge's determination as to the crime which will be convicted rather than the DA's?
Not at all. It substitutes the criminal's idea of what the crime should be.
Because I don't understand
after
how.
The district attorney has selected what he thinks is the best and most appropriate and most likely to get a conviction charge, he goes to court, and then the district attorney doesn't have any control about what the other testimony will be that the defendant will bring in, things that may or may not be true, either testified to by the defendant or by others, with no real opportunity to rebut it. And for example, the district attorney can charge burglary and the defendant can say, no, I didn't really have any intent to commit a crime when I went into the house. I really went in to look for the watch that I thought this fellow had that belonged to me or something. Pardon?
Two questions there. First one is, isn't there a requirement in law before any instruction be given to a jury that there be evidence in the record to support that instruction?
Yes.
Okay, and the second point is, with the example that you just gave, wouldn't the defendant be able to get up on the stand now, presently, and rebut the crime of burglary by saying, in effect, no, I didn't have the intent, because intent is one of the elements of burglary. You have to have an intent to commit a felony or a crime the time that you enter a dwelling.
That's correct.
Okay.
But then that gives the jury the opportunity to say, well, here's this defendant, he's gotten up here and admitted he intended going in there to do something else, and we should find him guilty of this particular crime, when the other evidence was that perhaps it should have been a burglary.
Okay.
And that may not be the most appropriate example either. I've heard better stories than that by far.
Okay, is there a motion on the...
Well, is it, can I just proceed just for a minute? I really don't track very well yet with the concern of the district attorney. I don't want to allow the defendant the right to down plead, so to speak, in the middle of a trial. And I think that's what you're saying the concern is. Sort of spell out his own violation lesser than the one charged. But how can it... If you can show a greater crime, and the judge would by this, the court by this change in the law would be able to find him guilty of a lesser crime, if, for instance, let's say you couldn't make the case on the greater one, would seem to me like you would have a more precise form of justice, not greater permissiveness or greater capability of maneuvering and in the hands of the defendant.
I could only answer that by saying...
You might get off free if we stuck to your theory.
That's true. That's entirely possible. And it may get off free under the other theory, too.
That's always a possibility, but it's the reason I guess I'm confused is it looked to me like this was a bill not designed, for instance, by defense attorneys. I just don't know which part of the judiciary or what kind of attitude formulated it, but it looked to me like an attempt to be more precise, for lack of a better word, in our justice, rather than any attempt to follow up a DA's theory of prosecution or in any way impede the district attorney. Maybe I'm...
Well, they don't feel as you do about that. This was Representative Mason's bill. I guess he's a defense attorney.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Yeah. I think to set the record straight, Representative Mason was also, for at least some period of time, a member of the Multnomah County DA's office. To his defense. Representative Cohen then represents Mason. Representative Cohen.
Well, I guess I don't have a question. Are we in work session?
We are in work session. I have just invited
Mr. Smith. I guess it seems to me that I suppose what it does is it takes away the sole discretion away from the DAs. You know, and that's what we're doing. We're just eliminating a little bit their absolute sole discretion. Now, we have to weigh about whether that's an advantage or disadvantage in terms of being able to prosecute someone, or at least get someone convicted.
I think it has two aspects to it. The first one is that it will allow the jury to make a rational decision as to what crime, if any, is committed based upon the evidence that's placed before it. Kind of a corollary to that, and probably something that does concern the district attorneys, is that it will weaken their position somewhat as far as plea bargaining is concerned, because the question as to whether the person will be convicted of the crime that the DA is charged with is made a little more problematic by this bill. It may be a lesser crime, because that may be what the evidence will support. And if it's not necessarily lesser included and is a different crime, then, you know, the trier of fact can come to that conclusion. Representative Mason.
I like Representative Dugas' phrase, more precise form of justice, because all it does is allows, to go back to Mr. Smith's hypothetical, the defendant to charge with burglary, it allows the defendant to say, yes, I'm guilty of trespass, but I'm not guilty of burglary, and that's my interpretation of the facts. And it would allow the jury to select that middle ground. It allows the jury to find the defendant guilty of burglary,
of trespass or not guilty at all. And there's going to be the defendant, like it says in the face of the bill, the defendant's interpretation of the facts may be different than the district attorney's. And in the situation now, the jury has to either let the defendant off scot-free or convict the defendant of that one and only crime. And the defendant is in that terrible position of saying, yeah, I was in there. And the jury's going to know that. And the jury's going to know the defendant was doing something wrong. But they either have to convict him or let him off scot-free. And I think the thing is that's unspoken here is more times than not, juries will convict of the greater crime than let the defendants off scot-free. That's just the way it happens. I would say 60% of the time a jury, if given a choice between letting him off scot-free and convicting him of maybe an inappropriate crime, they'll convict. But this instruction would be, like you say, a more precise form and would allow them to look at the facts and say, well, yes, the defendant was doing something wrong, but it wasn't quite what the interpretation was.
Okay. Are we ready for a motion?
Is there a motion on the bill?
Representative Mason?
No, they have not been adopted.
I would move the amendments.
Representative Mason moves adoption of the amendments to House Bill 2772, titled Legislative Council 5179, sub-34, sub-39. House Bill 2772. Is there discussion?
Yes.
Representative Bukes?
Now, as I understand this, this gives the prosecutor then a guarantee of 5 days' notice. It kind of confuses me, never having been in the courtroom as a participant. You know, from the legal point of view, all I've been is a witness or a juror, but it kind of puts the strategy monkey back on the district attorney's back if he, at some point 5 days before the trial, the defendant decides that he will try to show guilt of a lesser crime, right?
Then
so 5 days before the trial, by the amendment, sub 2 there, then the prosecuted says to the attorney, says to the DA, we're going to go for trespass, not, we don't think you got a burglary case, and we're going to plead to that, or we'll plead to that now.
The phrase is we're going to ask for an instruction on.
Okay.
There's no
That's what I'm searching.
Pleading involved. It's merely a request for an
If he
instruction.
Wants to plea bargain, he would at some stage prior to that, presumably
yeah.
plea bargain for a lesser crime.
Yeah. It just gives the district attorney notice of what the defendant.
I think I'm beginning to see their objection. Yeah, it takes the plea the capability of bargaining for a lesser crime into the courtroom.
In a fashion.
In effect.
Okay, the motion is by Representative Mason to adopt the proposed amendments. Is there further discussion?
I probably should have a roll call vote on this. If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Bugis?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye. Passes. Representative Mason moves that House Bill 2772 is amended to be sent to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion?
Yes, just a comment, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to vote to move this bill to the full committee, but I'm going to discuss it with my district attorneys, and I'll, as always, reserve the right to review my vote here. And I might say that applies to the other one. I haven't had a chance to really review those extensive amendments. But
okay. Is there further discussion? Representative Mason?
Well, I would like, for the record to note, I've asked the committee to introduce this bill, but this is not full-born out of my fore. This is a position among the criminal law community that's been discussed for several years, and I think Representative Bugis has a copy of the case, which discusses it.
I haven't had a chance to review those.
And this is essentially based on Justice O'Connell's view in that case, so this is not... I wish I could claim credit for this type of of legal thinking, but it's I'm just a carrier of one view. It's not an unusual position at all. The debate has raged in the legal community for quite a long time in the case law, and this will probably clear up a lot of case law if it does indeed become law.
Further discussion on the motion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bugis?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye. Passes. Is there further business to come before the subcommittee? If not, we're adjourned.